I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Artist feature. I have the pleasure today of being joined by two guests. My first guest here is Makiba Dixon Hill, who is the Curator of Education for the Spelman College Museum of Fine Art. And my second guest, well, I'll let Makiba introduce our second guest. Makiba, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Floyd. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Likewise. Introduce our guest.
Well, as I adjust myself in the seat to look her square in the eyes, because Danielle Detweiler is amazing. Oh. And the journey to getting to know her and the work that she does has spanned over a decade, actually. And that was in the beginning of both of our careers as students, practicing our art and seeing each other through our various travels in Atlanta, at Spelman College, at Columbia, in New York, and now back to Spelman.
Circle.
So, of life, right?
Oh, life.
So Danielle is a multimedia performance artist, and she has done several works of art that take us from acting all the way to sonic play. And I love the way that she's coined that term, and based on that passion brings us to the work that she's going to be doing at the Spelman College Museum of Fine Art. So Danielle has had her hands in so many different productions as a screen actor, on the stage. She just has so many rich and textured experiences in the art form of performance. And that is Danielle Detweiler.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Makiba. That was so much. Thank you.
Makiba, you mentioned that you all have nurtured this relationship over a decade. What were some of your early impressions of Danielle? I'm curious about that.
Dope. She was so fly and so cool. So,
was I aware of that? No. Did I intentionally do it? Probably not.
And that's what dope fly people do. They just are themselves. And so one of the first first Danielle sightings that I remember having, yes, was on Spelman's campus, right when you go through the gates and all the cars are either going into the parking lot or traveling on this winding road from the beginning to the end of campus. And she is in a friend's car that is like a 1976 big body Chevrolet. Do you remember that car?
Oh, no. Who is this?
It was a like you thought it was in Southern Playalistic Cadillac music. It was this huge big bodied.
Oh, man.
Cadillac.
Oh, it was Nicole's car. Oh, it was my best friend's car. Oh.
And
her granddaddy let.
So I said, "How is this lady?" And she's a little itty bitty thing in this big old car. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at this point, wearing your hair natural was still something that people would always say to you, oh, you look just like Lauryn Hill.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so at that moment, you know, she had these huge cascading curls in a lac.
That's hilarious.
From 1976.
That's hilarious.
So that was that first sighting. But then over the course of those couple of years, because we're classmates, you know, just observing each other and saying hi and building that foundational relationship because we're both tied to the arts.
Yeah.
And it's just always been a mutual respect. And then there are these moments where our paths will intersect. But this is the first time that we've ever worked together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Danielle's art making. So, Danielle, where did you start from in your art-making process?
Oh, man. Atlanta has nurtured me since I was 4 years old, in dance, in acting, in my all-around artistic experience. I started out dancing at four at Marling Rounds because my mother said that I was going to do it with, you know, no choice. Mm-hmm. So I go from Marlene Rounds to Total Dance Theater, Danceable Productions.
I danced at Total Dance.
I danced at Total Dance.
With Terry Axum.
Yes, and Dawn Axum. Yeah, for a long time. I was a part of the children's company and did some videos and stuff. We danced to Another Bad Creation. We had a fly routine. It was crazy with the pyramid doing like this. I still know it a little bit. I know a little bit of it. And then, you know, Atlanta Street Theater with Carol Mitchell Leon. And then doing lots of plays at Grady High School. And then it just, you know, that it's Atlanta. Atlanta has nurtured me.
And Atlanta is a very supportive environment for the arts. A lot of us who were born and raised there, when we go back and start to think about all of the artistic experiences we've had.
We've got some steadfast people here.
We really do.
We really, really do.
And it's a very entrenched and talented and nurturing environment of community arts that exists in this place and has a long history of nurturing artists of all types, but we definitely had a very strong African-American arts culture as well. Yeah.
Danielle, it seems like you started in dance. So starting there, how did you sort of pick up the other arts that were that now make up who you are?
I feel like people were always collaborating. So that's why interdisciplinary multimedia, intermedia work is, you know, what I've come to be, what I've turned out to really accept as, you know, the conduit for my work. Dance is performance, dance is acting, dance is emotion. There's no separation for me. And, you know, I did Women Hold Up Half the Sky as a child with Total Dance. And, yeah, you're dancing. There's choreography. That's the, like, main root of the presentation of the performances. But there were plenty of sections where we had to act. We had to, you know, emotionally translate something to the audience. And so, you know, that's where the paths start to cross. And then, so then, you know, that sparks an interest. And, you know, my mom was great, you know, in making sure that we had outlets. So she was like, oh, okay, you're going to do this now. And a lot of it also came from my sister. My sister is 7 years older than me, so she had particular interests. And then, you know, as, you know, you got siblings, I got to keep all y'all together. I got to make sure all of you all are being stimulated in some kind of way. So, as you know, I have two brothers also. So I kind of took that route. I was a tomboy who liked to perform. So, yeah, that's how it got. Dancing is acting. Acting is musical. It, you know, dance is music. All of these things are crossing paths. They're interweaving with each other. So that's how they started.
As we talk about interdisciplinary artists and multimedia or intermedia artists, there's a lot of different prefixes you can add to that. Mm-hmm. Sonic play. What does that mean?
I don't know. I just about 2 years ago started to really get into music, into sonic recording and figuring out how it works for me. Because I'll walk around and be like, no, I'm not a rapper. No, I'm not a musician in that regard. But it's still in the vein of sonic recording. It's how does sound affect you? How does sound affect an audience? How do you create something to stimulate somebody in a rhythmic, musical way? But now, since I've been, you know, working on this project, it's sonic play is how can you interact with sound, with music, in a multi-layered way besides it just being dance, you know, besides it just being this rhythmic expression. So I think I'm still trying to figure that out. And then before coming here, I Googled sonic play. There's no definition. You know what I mean? There's no online, like, what is that? But it's for me, it's turning into how do you audibly engage, your body with some musicality. I don't know. I don't know if that's totally making sense.
I definitely can dig it.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about play and we observe children who are just some of the most free creatures on this planet, they may not have a language that we can understand or a definition of what play means. It's actually just an exploration.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think also having creative leanings, or even if you don't, when you are exploring and creating your own definitions, you break out the mold. And mm-hmm. I think that this also speaks to the work that you do as an actress or as an actor, and how that is a way to get into your body in a very real, guttural way. Also quoting you, because you're the first person I heard say guttural.
Yeah. I live there.
Yeah. And so it's almost like a mutation.
Yeah.
You know, through the play, you're now assuming something else.
Yeah.
Mixing and taking things, sampling,
yeah.
taking them out.
Yeah.
And on this topic of play, you really go into alter egos.
People say artists, you know, define these words. I'm just playing. I'm really just trying to get back to being in that non-definitional, you know, that non-defining mode of just, let me see if this works. Let me see if this works. And that's a super vulnerable place, you know, and I kind of like it.
And actually, that in many ways is the spirit of the Black Box program, because the way that the first sentence that we use to advertise it is we use the word play.
Mm-hmm.
Because of so much of the pressure attached to completion and so much stress attached to success.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if it doesn't have to be complete is out of the equation. What if you're able to experiment as the thing that takes the that comes to the forefront? And it's an opportunity to just let loose and put it in the space.
Yeah.
And I think that you're a shining example, a great ambassador for what our hopes are for this program.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
From a theme standpoint or a topic standpoint, what made, well, outside of Danielle's brilliance, as you've so eloquently described here, from a theme standpoint, mm-hmm. what about her work made this a good fit, or made her a good fit for Black Box and Spelman in the museum?
Wow, that's an excellent question. And unfortunately, you're going to get a couple of answers from me on it rather than just one. One part of that answer is, Black Box is a public program that functions very different than the other programs that we have, to essentially at the Spelman College Museum of Fine Art. Our programs are in conversation with the artwork on view. But with Black Box, it's operating as a completely independent entity where the artist, it's almost a very spiritual thing in which the artist emerges when they just need to be in the space and be a part of the program. We've had, Danielle will make the third artist to participate in Black Box. And so far, they have always connected to the work of Art on View, but it's not intentional.
Mm-mm.
It's not intentional at all. But looking through the lens of the artwork that we have on view, the show that we're presenting has been curated by Deborah Willis, the amazing historian and well-regarded photographer, educator, and mentor to so many emerging photographers in this country. She created this show called Posing Beauty and African American Culture, and it's a series of over 35 photographs that span 6 decades of the Black image in American photography. So with that is so much diversity. It's so many different characters, so many stories. And what better person or artist to invite is somebody that plays characters. So the performative element works amazingly. Also, with the content that Danielle will be presenting in several voices through several characters, there's definitely an emphasis on the Black female and the Black female body. And that is inextricably linked to the museum's mission as the only museum in the nation that focuses on art by and about women of the African diaspora. So it's already a very natural fit. But the content of the performance, our performance mixtape, as she's calling it.
The live mixtape.
Live mixtape. Mm-hmm. Is that it's almost providing a soundtrack to the entire show through at least three works of art that I can recall at this moment that can tap into some of these characters that she's playing or assuming.
Yeah. It's entitled Dispossessed, the live mixtape. And yes, this spiritually happened. There was some serendipitous, freak, weird, beautiful, magical thing that brought it together. I saw that the last one. I didn't see it, but I saw the advertisement for it. And, you know, I'm on Spelman's newsletter. And I was like, oh. Black Box series. What's this? And then I said, Makiba's coming? Makiba's here? Well, let me email the Black Box series and see if I can do something with this. And I happened to, I literally a year ago, and I was in North Carolina writing on Dispossessed. And I, you know, didn't know where I would present this, what I would do with it. But nonetheless, I'm in North Carolina at the DNC writing, living there for a month because my husband does transportation management work. And we were living there. And I said, so I'm just typing away, doing this. And then a year later, I'm like, oh, man, this fits. I could do it here. It's experimental. That's a trigger word for me, you know. Play, that's a trigger word. In development, that's a trigger word. Okay, cool. Let me see if I can get in here. And then Makiba happens to be repping it. Oh, my God. So then we meet. She shows me, you know, the process so far and the artists who have participated. And then she starts talking about the exhibit. And then I'm emotional. I didn't cry, but I cried internally. And posing beauty and everything about, and to say pose, you know, posing and the way it looks aesthetically with dispossessed. So POS, POSE, it's like, there you go, you know. And you just say, okay, I have to try this out. I have to play with this.
How does Dispossessed fit with the rest of your current stable of work?
Dispossessed is a culmination of everything so far. It involves a new thing for me, performance art, and moving past theater, moving past the presentation kind of style that theater and film and TV can give. Performance art feels completely different for me. In the vein of like Marina Abramovich, in the vein of people who are video artists, it's about getting to this more visceral experience and getting to this experience where people can like put the pedestal aside, put the pedestal of the TV aside, put the pedestal of the stage aside, and let's be, you know, eye to eye. Let's be really intimate in this experience. And it dispossesses that. It dispossesses performance art. It's video installation. It's the sonic play. And it is theatrical as well. So it's blending everything that I've been doing up to now.
Makiba Dixon Hill from the Spelman College Museum of Fine Art and Danielle Deadweiler, artist extraordinaire. Let everyone know how they can connect with the both of you and your roles.
Okay. Well, you can visit the museum on Spelman's campus, 350 Spelman Lane. We are open on Tuesday through Saturday. Tuesday through Friday, we're open from 10 to 4. On Saturdays, noon to 4. We actually have Danielle coming to the museum next Wednesday at 6:30 for the Black Box program of Dispossessed, the live mixtape. You'll be in for a treat. I actually have to tell this little small story, really short one. So guess who came into the museum today?
Like today?
Today.
Who?
Oh, gosh, now I just forgot his name. He is now one of the newest art and culture writers for Creative Loafing.
Rodney Carmichael?
Yes. Rodney Carmichael just strolls into the museum. And you know me, I'm off the elevator and I just say, hey, did you just come from the museum?
Yeah.
And we start talking about the exhibition. And then I started talking to him about you. And he says, you know, I think I follow her on Twitter. So he's super excited to come.
Nice.
And it's going to make his way out there. So it's just the museum has and is just a revolving door at this point of people that are coming based on some of the things that you just said, that curiosity. So we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Just look for us, Spelman College Museum of Fine Art.
Oh, me? You can find me at DanielleDeadweiler.com, and you can find me at ddshio.bandcamp.com.
Can you spell that?
Oh, I can spell all of it. Danielle is D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E. Deadweiler, DeadweilerDEADWYLER.com, all lowercase. And DeeDee Shio is that, you know, that sonic fool of a woman. And she is at DeeDee DIDIXIO.bandcamp.com. That's my sonic stuff. And I'm on Twitter at Captain_D_. I know that looks weird, but, you know, it's rooted in my friend Amber Iman giving me wings. So the underscores are wings. And then I'm on Facebook. It's Danielle Detweiler /DeeDee Shio. And you can, you know, there are other things. Irreconcilable Films. I just did a co-produced a film with my sister and a number of, like, really, really intriguing people, intriguing artists. Crystal Fox from Have and Have Nots. Jasmine Guy. Day Rogers was part of it, but my sister did direct it. And Dick Gregory.
That's going to be good.
That man is funky. Irreconcilable Films. Look for that on Twitter and Facebook. So, yeah, I'm a part of all of those things and can connect in that way. And next week, I'm geeked.
Yay.
Makeba and Danielle, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Floyd.